Nasty Satellite Show, the most interesting people in the ville.
The newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee, I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media with Stephen George.
Budding country music star, J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
And welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Rick Redding, your host on the Rusty Satellite Show, the longest-running, most interesting podcast in the ville. I understand I may have some new listeners this week, so welcome aboard. You can always subscribe to the show on iTunes, or just call me and get me on the weekly mailing list. It sends you a reminder every week about what interesting people are on the show each and every week. So this week, of course, is themed. I have a theme. I have one interview with two folks involved in the local pickleball movement, of which I have become an avid participant. This week, I've played every day this week, and it is it's a blast. And not since I was like new to racquetball have I been this excited about doing something that is physically and mentally challenging, and you will hear all about it. My guest, who you will hear in just a moment in two segments, are first of all, Steve Hocker. Steve is the former CEO of Cisco here in Louisville, but is enjoying and having a great time in his retirement, focused a little bit on pickleball, both here in Louisville and down in Florida, where he spends some time. And he is a one of the top players, top administrators, top instructors in the city. And he's he sort of explains it all to me, stuff that I didn't know. And I think you'll like hearing from Steve. Also, if you want evidence that the pickleball movement is real in Louisville, just listen to my friend Keith Johnson, who about a year ago started the Derby City Pickleball Facebook page with zero members. I guess he was the first. Now it's over 800. I'm sure it'll be over 1,000 in the near future. You can go to Facebook, to Derby City Pickleball, and it's a great resource to find out what's going on in the city concerning this fast-growing sport. And, of course, the big thing going on in the city is this Saturday. It's the grand opening of 16 new pickleball courts in Tom Sawyer Park. That's right. There's been a lot of people behind this, but the Tom Sawyer State Park Foundation decided, at the behest of some pickleball enthusiasts, about 2 years ago to make it 3 years ago to convert six of the tennis courts over at the park into 16 first-rate, perfect pickleball courts. And the grand opening event is Saturday. There's going to be a lot of stuff over there, a lot of vendors, a lot of there'll be food trucks, there'll be all sorts of stuff. They'll have a ribbon cutting ceremony and some demonstrations, a lot of stuff going on. So I'm planning to go out there, as are my guests on the show. Just so you know, some of the people involved, our state representative, Julie Racky Adams, was involved in making this happen. It cost $100,000 to convert the courts, and they're ready. They are ready now. So I hope you join me out there. And you know, the whole thing about pickleball is you can play, you can pick up a game almost any of the courts. The Metro Parks have courts over at Hounds Lane Park. I've been spending a lot of time over there.
at Charlie Vetner Park. It's the only place in town you can play at night because they got lights. They got two courts over there. Des Prairies Park and Wyandotte Park. Also, Wyandotte actually has six courts, the biggest complex prior to the Sawyer Park opening. So this show is all about pickleball. I'll mix in some other news and things that are going on in an exciting, exciting time in our city. There is a lot going on. You know, just the last few weeks, if you pay attention to the Rusty Satellite Show, you know, we had our 400th episode a couple weeks ago, and that's big news. What who's been in podcasting since 2013, right? I had Mayor Bill Dieruff from J-Town on the show, and then last week I had Dina Karam, who is the CEO of the Jeffersontown Chamber. They are holding their annual beer fest this weekend. That's the other big event I hope to show up for. All right, I've got a lot more to talk about in between the way the show is set up this week. A kind of a first for the Rusty Satellite Show. Talking with my two guests for about 10 minutes, then I will come in with some comments on things, as I tend to do. And then we'll have more from Steve Hocker and Keith Johnson. But that's the way the show's set up. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you sign up. Hope you become a fan of the Rusty Satellite Show. Brought to you each and every week by my friends at Home Cuisine, the Hector's CBD business in Nulu, and by EXP Realty. I'm an agent with the Rick Robies Group at EXP Realty. Would love to talk to you about a new home or any issue you've got in real estate. All right, well, let's get the show rolling. Here's the start of my interview.
Home cuisine, from our cookbook to your kitchen. We specialize in healthy food for busy people. Try our 3-day sampler. Try our 7 days, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Keto, paleo, classic, or veggie. Call 502-896-0666 or visit us online, homecuisineonline.com, for all your healthy eating needs.
Hey, this is going to be a fun day. I'm going to get to talk about pickleball and learn even more about my new favorite sport. I'm with Steve Hocker. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
And Keith Johnson.
Hello.
And you'll learn a lot more about these two guys. Keith, first of all, you are the organizer of the Derby City Pickleball Facebook page.
That is correct.
It's experienced phenomenal growth. Am I right?
We started 2 weeks, I think, prior to COVID, and we've grown the memberships up to 827 today?
827 people. Okay, so like you, I mean, like a lot of those people, I'm one of the new joinees. I didn't know what pickleball was in March, and now I'm playing almost every day. Steve, you're have a certification as an instructor. And you're a great player. I can't wait to take you on.
I can't wait to play you, brother. Can't wait to play you. Work on that drop shot.
No, I need a drop shot. I need to get that down. I just want to hit it hard. For our audience members that don't know, maybe Steve, it'd be best for you to explain. I don't want to go too elementary, but what is pickleball?
It's a game that was invented in 1965 by some fathers that wanted to keep their kids busy.
Okay.
I mean, it was just that simple, and it went through some evolutions, and it has just grown like crazy since then. There wasn't a pickleball tournament in 1965. Now there's probably 5 pickleball tournaments every single solitary weekend of the year.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of the pros on YouTube.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out the game and all that, but for those that don't know, it's a wiffle ball, just like you used to play with in your backyard, and a wooden or graphite paddle, and it's played. It's a cross between. I always tell people it's smaller than tennis, bigger than ping pong, right?
It's a good description.
That? Okay.
Very good description.
Okay. Now, but what I'm trying to figure out is, I learned about this in Florida. What is driving? Steve, you may be the best to answer this. What is driving the popularity of the game?
there's so many different levels of the game. Pickleball is the only sport that I know of where you can be 70 years old and be ranked a 2-5 all the way up to a 5-0. So no matter what your athletic ability is, no matter what, how many varsity or never played a sport in your life, we can put a paddle in your hand, and about 20 minutes later, you're going to be dinking this little ball over this 34-inch net. You're going to have a smile on your face. You're going to go home, and your legs are going to hurt. So's your butt. But it's a game that can be progressively learned, progressively played, and it's a game that encourages like-skilled players to play against each other. You really don't want to go play Riley Newman and Tyson McGuffin tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a 3-0 player. And there's a bunch of people in Louisville you don't want to go play either. There's some really, really dynamite players here. And you probably run into some of them at Hounds. And some of them play in private courts. And hopefully they'll all be out here to show us their moxie and their stuff.
Right.
Because they're talented. These are people that are going to be playing 5-0. And hopefully they'll be on YouTube winning some medals someday,
okay,
too, for Louisville.
Well, and another – I'm going back to basic stuff, but most of the play I've experienced around here is all doubles.
Absolutely.
Is there singles that go on? Or?
Oh, absolutely. One of the crowning achievements in pickleball hierarchy is the triple crown. That means you won singles, you won doubles, and then you won mixed. So
okay,
when you hear somebody say that's a triple crown winner, at the highest level of pickleball, that person, male and female, won all three events that weekend.
Okay. And we're going to, not jumping ahead, I'm going to jump around in this interview a lot, but in the not too distant future, there's a sort of championship like that coming to Louisville. Am I right?
There's a tournament coming to Louisville. It's not APP or PPA. Those are the governing bodies of where the pros go.
Okay.
And pickleball has grown so much. Pros, the highest level pros, let's just say the top 20 male, female, they have to select how many APPs and PPAs they're going to play in, and then they're allowed to play in four or six, and I could probably get these numbers a little bit wrong, separate non-sanctioned by APP or PPA events.
Okay.
Coming here is just going to be a pickleball tournament. It's going to be on pickleball.com. It'll be the intro tournament that on these courts, and literally anybody can start.
So I can sign up, even though I've never played anything organized
absolutely
before.
Absolutely. You would sign up, and I don't know if they're doing skill level, if they're doing age and skill specific. I haven't looked at the site. But anyway, they do it. Players are used to playing by skill and age or just skill level, and they're going to have 16 courts. I don't know how many people are going to be in the first tournament out here.
Okay.
It's being run by a local tennis pro.
Is it like in October?
It's in October.
Okay.
I don't remember which weekend it is, but
it's the first weekend.
I think it's on the Facebook page.
Okay. Well, Keith, I want to ask you about that Facebook page. Derby City Pickleball went from nothing to over 800 members in a little over a year. And I know it's an active site because I go to it every day and I see a new post or whatever. What kind of a reaction are you getting?
Yeah, Rick, it's just exploded. I mean, the funny thing is we haven't really advertised. We haven't sought out players. It's just every day I go click on this and I'm like, wow. You know,
people are just searching for pickleball. I just wanted to find out everything I could. So I started watching YouTube videos you don't realize, I think, and maybe you can speak to the local aspect of this, but at Hounds Lane Park, at Vetner, at Depre, and the
Wyandotte,
the places, a lot of times you can just show up and get in games, right?
That's the beautiful thing of the sport. There'll all be somebody there, a group playing, and they can help you. And, you're not going to – you can just step into games,
yeah,
you know, with people. You don't know, and you make friends.
Yeah. I remember the point where I felt like they were feeling sorry for me. They let me play. And, anyway, I've gotten a little better.
Well, you're probably being modest. The good thing that you're bringing up here is these 16 courts should be very, even though 16 courts is intimidating, it should be unintimidating the way that the foundation and the park is laying this out. You're going to have beginner and family courts. You're going to have three different challenge courts. 4.0 plus, 3.5 plus. You're going to have a side that's for pretty much beginners to 3.25. The other side is going to be more advanced intermediate. We want to get like-skilled players together so nobody gets hurt. Because this ball, as you know, Rick, that ball can fly really, really fast. And you played with a gentleman this morning, Josh. You do not want him to hit you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it should be organized to where you can come, you can have fun, you can get on the court, meet new people, and get instruction.
Well, I want to back up a minute, and certainly in the next segment, I want to talk a lot about the new facility here we are. But just to tell our listeners, we're to Tom Sawyer Park. It's a state facility, and the state decided some time ago to build 16 pickleball courts, and their grand opening is this Saturday. What's that event going to be like, Keith?
We think it's going to be awesome. We're not sure on the numbers, but we're prepared for a lot of people. We've got volunteers. We're going to have a lot of festivities, ribbon cutting possibly, and food trucks, and a lot of things going on.
A lot of things going on. So it could be hundreds of people.
Yes, I guess.
The foundation is really in charge of that. Liz has done a great job. I think there's over 12 or 14 vendors that are going to be here that are pickleball type vendor people. If you'd like to buy a paddle, or you want a lesson, or you we want a hot dog, whatever.
It'll be here.
There's
you
a special
a hot
pickleball
dog.
But just the introduction to the game, and they're going to encourage immediate play, and then they're going to encourage people that have never played in their life to come over to the beginner family courts and just kind of be introduced to it. Here's a paddle, hit a ball, and then get you hooked.
Let me ask you a little bit about the paddles, because I've been curious about that. I bought some online that they seem a lot alike. Tell me, is there a big difference in the quality of the paddle? I mean, I know in racquetball, which I played a lot, it was always, you know, I was concerned about the weight and the weight of the racket and the tension of the strings and the size of the handle. And, you know, you had to have that just right. You know, you had to have a good racket. You'd pay $150, $200 for a decent racket in racquetball. What about these paddles?
Oh, well, it's you said racquetball. These people, the different manufacturers are always trying to make their paddle, whether it's a soft feel, whether it's a power feel, whether they're using composite, whether they're using graphite, whether they're using a stub handle, whether they're using a long handle. A lot of the tennis players coming on this, they love the two-handed, so they like the longer handle. They like the more squared off edge of the bottom of the paddle. But everything has to meet a USAPA spec. But there's really no spec on weight. So if you want your thing to weigh 10 pounds, go ahead. But most of the paddles come off the line somewhere between 6'9 and 8'1. But all this lead tape that you can buy at the local store, Wrigley's, the Chucks, I should say Chucks, you can add weight to your paddle. It gives you a little different feel. And it just depends on your game, your racket sports background. You may want a heavier paddle. You may want your weight at the top. You may want your weight at the bottom. You may want to overgrip. If you're a golfer, you might want to overgrip your putter. It's kind of the same thing. But it's very personal. And these are expensive paddles. And they should be, because you hit a lot of balls in a year with that little paddle.
Yeah, exactly.
if it's price per hit, it's a cheap paddle.
Okay. All right. Well, this is all very interesting. I want to continue it. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about this great new facility.
Thanks.
Rusty Satellite Show, the most interesting people in the Ville.
Oh, man. All right, and this is Rick Redding back with you on the Rusty Satellite Show. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with Steve and Keith to talk about the new Sawyer Park facility, among other things, in the very near future. This part of the show, though, can't break format completely, is where I talk about some of the things going on. I mentioned to you that the J-Town Beer Fest is coming up on Saturday. My lovely fiance Paula is working over there. I'm trying to. I think I'll make an appearance there as well, and have a bunch of have some little 3 ounce bottle, 3 ounce samples of beer, and seltzer, and all the sorts of things that people are pushing. They're expecting a big crowd right there in the heart of J-Town. And if you want to know more, You can look it up online. You can listen to last week's interview with Dina Karam. Whatever you want to do. But come on out to J-Town and enjoy the Beer Fest. It's one of the first big events that is going on. Speaking of big events going on, though, did you go to Waterfront Wednesday this week? I saw on the news. I didn't make it down there, but they had a big crowd. It's all about getting back to what we're used to here in the city, and Waterfront Wednesday is a really great tradition, and glad to have it back. Glad for the local public radio stations to get their big events going, and I hope they're going back to a regular monthly schedule on that. We shall see. But I've been going around town noticing, and now I've noticing the increase in activity. I saw in the news the other day that the Slugger Museum had like 3,000 visitors in a single day. It's one of its biggest tourist attractions in the city. So that's great, and tourism is going gangbusters. I read a story in the Courier Journal that said that through mid-July, 112 different groups representing 119,000 hotel room nights were scheduled from the beginning of the year through mid-July, and it's just growing. I mean, there are more events. A lot of them are sporting events. I don't know if you know out at the fairgrounds, but a lot of AAU basketball and volleyball events are going on or scheduled out there. Brings a lot of energy to the city. Only complaint I hear is that you know, the restaurants and the businesses are still a little slow. You never know. It's hard to know when some places are going to be open or not. You know, I know they're struggling with staff shortages, and in fact, my friend Pam Stallings at Salsarita's, I was talking to her this week, and she's constantly struggling to get enough people to work at her two restaurants. Speaking of Pam, you know, her son Steven is teeing off right as I speak in Lexington at the Barbasol Championship. In the world of pro golf, most of the big names are over at the Open, used to be known as the British Open, and I guess it's in the UK. But for those that don't qualify or that are for some reason not going overseas, I did see some of the previews of the British Open. Justin Thomas from Louisville is one of the favorites over there. But the rest of the guys on tour are in Lexington, including our own Stephen Stallings Jr., who you heard on this show last week. He was great. I'm really pulling for him. I hope he does well. It's a big event for him. It really is. Moving on in golf, you know. I don't know how I do this. I just transition. I don't have this written down. Paula works for USA Cares, a nonprofit that dedicates itself to doing good things for veterans. They are having a big scramble for those with the money to play out of Valhalla on Monday. It's a big event. And in fact, we're USA Cares. It's a big time for them. August 7th, there's a gala that I have to dress up for. Not accustomed to that, but fortunately, it comes a week after our wedding, for which I'll also be dressing up for. I suppose we're having our wedding down at Paristown on July 31st at 10:30 in the morning. I will soon be posting on Facebook a link created by my good friend Jason Smith, who's great, does all my technical and web development work, and is available if you need web development work. He's really great. He is going to film the wedding. I don't know if film is the right word, but there's going to be a camera there at the wedding, and you can look in on it live. That's right. If you didn't get an invite to the wedding, you can attend simply by going online and following this link. How about that? It's good stuff. Everything in the world seems like these days is available on video. All right. So as I mentioned, there's so much stuff going on. I'm looking forward to this event on Saturday morning. Starts at 9 o'clock over at Tom Sawyer State Park. If you don't know about that, it was the first time I'd driven around the whole thing the other day, and the park, they have a BMX course over there, softball fields, all sorts of recreational opportunities, pools, etc. But now it is expected to become one of the hotspots in the region, really, for pickleball. There's going to be tournaments, etc., all the time. And the guys, Tom and Keith, are part of the group that's organizing play over there. Now, what's going to happen Saturday is you're going to hear from all the people responsible for making the conversion of the 6 tennis courts to 16 pickleball courts happen, and that's very important. The ribbon cutting is going to include Mike Berry, who's been on this show. Mike was the president of the Kentucky Derby Foundation, not Kentucky Derby Festival, and now he is the Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet Secretary. So Mike's moved up in the world. Be good to see him. The Department of Parks Commissioner Russ Meyer will be there. State Senator Julie Rocky Adams. Other representatives of the park and the foundation that's made all this possible. Now, after Saturday, I suppose that the park is going to attract regular players. And there is a system that that Keith and Steve are going to talk about that is going to assure you that you can, number one, you're welcome to come over no matter what level a player you are. And you'll be matched with somebody at a similar level. Certain courts will be designated for higher level players and other courts for beginners. And the great thing about the sport, all the places I played, I started in Florida. Where I discovered it in Fort Myers, and all the people that play, you know, seem to be welcoming. A lot of older folks, in fact, are out there. But anyway, I really have enjoyed the game, and the reason I wanted to do this show was because I want to let people know this is a big deal, a big sport, and it's got the potential. You know, certainly it's already changed my life a bit, and I'd love for you to join. If you want to play, you want to learn more about it, you can give me a call. I don't care. 502-439-6391. That's also my number for real estate. If you want to call and ask me about what's going on in the world of real estate, I'd be glad to talk to you. And that's basically the story. Now, the rest of the interview with Steve and John is coming up. I hope you'll hang in there and come back to the Rusty Satellite Show. Each and every week, we bring you the most interesting people in the Ville. Thanks again to my sponsors, Home Cuisine, Hector's CBD in Nulu, and EXP Realty. Here's the rest of the show.
The Rusty Satellite Show, the most interesting people in the Ville.
All right, I am back at Sawyer Park, and I am with Steve Hocker and Keith Johnson, and we're talking pickleball, which is fun.
We love it.
I see these courts over here. I just want to stop talking and go over there and hit some.
Yeah.
it's fun, but I want to talk about how this facility came about. It's not cheap. The state park system is, how much money are they spending on this pickleball facility?
Well, the foundation's really the driving force behind this, and they got with a senator, I think you may know.
Julie. Rocky, yeah.
And I think they put an economic impact study together, and it was a pretty easy vote for the money. And then the bid officially that was online was right at $100,000. I think Tennis Technology came in at $98,000 for this wonderful facility. And there's always, each facility, as soon as you're done building, you just like you build your house, you wish you would have done this, you would have, should have done that. But they're already on board, I think, with some more allocation for next year to make this a state-of-the-art facility. And once it is, the parking this park has, the restroom facilities this park has, the love of the game that the Louisvillians have, they when can you have say, some world-class pickleball
When you say economic impact, how does a facility like this justify or measure the economic impact?
Well, there's studies that are mathematical studies on the USAPA site. I'm from Punta Gorda, Florida, and if you want to, there's articles all over the paper that shows the economic impact of 16 courts in tiny little Punta Gorda, Florida. This is Louisville. We're three times their size.
Right.
So the economic impact that the tournaments can have for the surrounding area is outstanding, because these people are going to draw from Nashville, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Indiana, Cincinnati. Where are they going to spend the night? Your house? My house? Where are they going to go eat? Where are they going to buy their gas? Where are they going to get their smoothie? Where are they going to get their icy? And where are they going to get their hot dog? All of that adds up. On the national average, when you run a tournament, it's about $139 economic impact per player per day.
Wow. Okay, so you think one impact is tournaments that will be held how frequently?
You know, this facility could run every month. I don't think anybody wants to play an outside, 4 months out of the year here. But if they had 6 to 7 tournaments here a year, plus Keith's group, the club, or they want to have social fun, Friday night lights, family nights, this kind of stuff, where there's food trucks involved, where there's maybe a small donation to have that little tournament, so some of that money can go to the foundation to have maybe the lights, maybe court cleaning equipment, maybe a shed that can house a lot of the stuff that's necessary to maintain the courts.
Because there's not lights now, but
there's light stands.
Yeah.
See, they're right there.
I know over Charlie Ventner there are lights, and I've late at night there, and it's sometimes on these hot days it's a lot better to get out there at night. Keith, what about your group? I mean have you started planning these sort of events? It seems like within the Facebook group there's a little bit of spread between people that play at Hounds and Ventner and Dupre.
That's correct. Our goal would be to bring them all together. The game plan is to have 5 events this year. Again, these are going to be smaller tournaments, not your open tournaments like the one that'll be held in October. We're scheduling those now, and that's pretty much what we want to do.
Wow.
To help the state meet their mandate and so forth.
Okay. Yeah, because, I can imagine, in this park, it is so great. You mentioned the park. I drove around here for the first time the other day. I didn't know there's a BMX track over there.
Oh, it's an amazing... I mean, I've played in 20 tournaments, and parking, restrooms, showers... shade. Oh my God! Look at this. Once this place is spruced up and the courts are and the gates and everything are dialed in, this is going to be a sought after place to come in Louisville. Come on,
yeah.
Bourbon, food.
Right. So people come in from out of.
They'll come in to. They'll say they're coming in for pickleball, but they're really going to come in for the bourbon and the food.
Yeah.
Do any of our members drink, Steve?
Oh, none.
No, I didn't think so.
I'm concerned about the 8 miles from my house. I would rather it be 3 miles. So travel is a thing. But and I was talking to some of the people I was playing with over at Hounds, and another aspect of pickleball maybe you can address, Steve, is that people, no matter where you go,
it's there.
You pack your paddle. And you can show up somewhere, right?
I had some friends in town, and they literally got online. They Googled Pickleball Louisville. When you get on there, you'll find a couple of things, but when you type it into Facebook, what comes up? First thing, Derby City Pickleball. And what's on there? Where we're playing, hours, and it just lots of good comments, lots of different places to go and play. And that's what's going to happen. When people come to this town, they're traveling,
and now they have this central spot. The other places aren't going away.
Nope, they're not going to go away. But if they know there's 16 courts and it's organized play and there's challenge courts, if you're a traveling salesman and you happen to be a 4 or 5 on the weekend, and you want some good play, some competitive play, you want to get your steps in, they're going to be right here.
Okay. All right. So you told me based on a conversation, Steve. We're going to talk about me for a second. All right, that from what you heard from me, I'm like a 3.5, right? So what do you do to move up, to go from a 3.5 to a 4.0 or a 4.0 to a 4.5?
Well, there's a lot of great YouTube videos, but there's nothing like personal one-on-one instruction. And there's nothing like playing with an advanced player who's willing to give you the time
to show you some real basic things that you're not doing. And then there's certain shots that the 3.5 has, a 4.0 has, a 4.5 has. Footwork is God-given, but you can learn the anticipation. But to get better, taking a lesson, which is something Sawyer's going to do. They want to run some skills and drills and have some private instruction. But there's a lot of great players here in town that will easy take you aside and give you a couple of tips. But you can't take all of it in at once. You have to do baby steps. And until you master certain things, don't try to go to the next level because you'll get eaten.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that some of that seems obvious. You know, I've got this experience of, in the 30th year of playing racquetball, I was still trying to figure out a way to get better. You know, so you're always, no matter who you are, or the other thing I always say is, well, if I'm feeling pretty cocky, I just need to go play somebody that's going to kick my ass.
Well, but how did they do it?
Yeah.
What are you doing that made it so easy for them to beat your butt? Is your paddle down? Were you moving when you shouldn't have been moving? Were you ready to defend, but instead moving forward?
Yeah.
There's tiny little things that a good player will show you, and they'll just say, stop. Get ready to defend. If you keep moving, if you're moving, you're missing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in racquetball, with your defensive ceiling shot, if it came off the wall too hard, that was a really lousy decision. But if it landed perfectly and barely bounced, you were like, I own you.
Yeah.
And you rocked the lane. It's the same thing. The pickleball chess game, they set their partner up, and when you play a good team, you know immediately they've got some experience.
I think that's the thing. It makes it great from my perspective. It's physical. It's very physical. I'm always sweating, but it's mental. You know, there's a lot of stuff to figure out, and then that, like, people that don't know anything about pickleball and go up and watch good people play, that play at the net. I mean, it's so fast. You have to have such quick reflexes, it seems like.
If you watch the ball come off the paddle, you know, yes, they have fast hands. Yes, they're good anticipators. They literally know. They watch your paddle. They know. Now, some of them can disguise it, but that's a 4-5 player. The 3-5 or the 4-0 level, they disguise a little, but not as much as the next level does. They're harder to read.
Yeah.
But once you understand to watch it coming off their paddle, I don't care if they're at the baseline or if they're at the kitchen.
Right.
Once you learn those angles and where they're probably going to go, they should be going middle. But
okay.
Right. And to add to that, the hardest hitter is not always, you know, a good player will slow them down.
Yeah. You want to hit it hard, but still. And that's a good thing to end up on. You know, a piece of terminology that people aren't familiar with the game. Kitchen. What's the kitchen, Keith?
Kitchen is basically a non-volley zone, and you can only go in there when the ball actually bounces into the kitchen. Now, we've learned this past few weeks from Steve, who is actually a referee, that you can go into the kitchen when a ball bounces outside of the kitchen, but you have to get directly back. That's if your momentum carries you in there.
Okay.
I think he's a better person to explain the rules. But the kitchen, everybody in first glance and first learning the sport, they're going to be told to stay out of there. But there's actual times.
So if I'm running up to get a short one, I can hit it and go into the kitchen, but I got to go right back out.
Yeah. As long as it bounces, you can put a lawn chair in that kitchen.
Okay.
if you take it out of the air, you cannot go in there until the ball comes back.
This rule was disputed heavily recently.
All right. Well, I'm going to stay out of the kitchen. if I can
That's
do
what
it.
Your wife said.
All right. Well, let's wind this up. Steve and Keith, you guys have been great for my education. I appreciate it. I can't wait to get out there in these new courts, 16 new courts right here at Sawyer Park. And there's going to be a lot of organization. Come out Saturday, what time?
9 o'clock.
9 a.m. is when it starts.
9 a.m. and I think people are planning on staying here till around 2. I think there's the food vendors and maybe a slushy machine. I'm not sure the foundation's got that other, but there'll definitely be people on the courts playing, really good players. They'll also have people have never played, go over and see the pro that we got coming. He's actually here from Florida. That's a really good teacher. He's going to be here to help get people coordinated and organized, and stick around for a couple weeks.
All right. Well, Steve, Keith, thank you so much. I'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and we'll We'll continue my pickleball education.
You guys can find us on Facebook or www.derbycitypickleball.com.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.